What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the JT Sports Podcast. I'm your host, JT. We got some more draft grades to give out. On this episode, I'm going to be giving you guys my AFC West draft grades. We're going to be breaking down every team in this division's draft class, give you guys my thoughts, my analysis, and my grades. If you haven't already, hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, turn on post notifications, because I see a lot of you guys in the comment section asking if I'm going to do a certain division. We're going to do every single division, so you definitely want to make sure that you have post notifications turned on so you don't miss when we upload draft grades for your favorite team and whichever division they reside in. Remember that we're not just a YouTube channel, we are a podcast. You can find this episode and all our other ones in audio format on all podcasting platforms, Apple, Amazon, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, you can find the JT Sports Podcast. Follow us on our social media platforms. You can find us on Instagram at JT Sports _ and on X at JT Sports _. If you have a question that you would like answered on a future episode, you can send them in the DMs on at us on X or Instagram. So make sure that you guys go ahead, check us out on social media. And before we get into it, here's a quick word from our partner, Mint Mobile. Does it piss you off how much you pay for your monthly phone bill? Why are you getting frustrated when our partner Mint Mobile has plans as low as $15 a month that give you unlimited talk and text on the nation's largest 5G network? Stop getting frustrated with how much you spend on your monthly phone bill and go to trymintmobile.com/JTSports in description and pinned comment down below to get access to premium wireless for only $15 a month. That's only $15 a month. Switching to Mint is easy. It only takes 15 minutes to do. If you're pissed off with how much you pay for your monthly phone bill, switch to Mint Mobile today and go to trymintmobile.com/JTSports in the description and pinned comment down below to get premium wireless for only $15 a month. Stop getting upset with how much you spend on your monthly phone bill and switch to Mint Mobile today. The Kansas City Chiefs had a fantastic draft, all right? They seem to dominate on the field, and they dominate when it comes to making the right personnel decisions. The fact that they were able to trade up for Xavier Worthy with the Buffalo Bills was an absolute robbery, and it was an idiotic decision by Buffalo. Kansas City is at the point now where you really shouldn't be making moves that benefit them. When it comes to helping them move up in the draft, there's obviously a player that they are eyeing that they feel is going to make a big impact for them. And if you're Buffalo, you're losing to them in the playoffs, why would you want to help your arch rival? That's like Batman helping out the Joker. But if you're a Chiefs fan, you getting Xavier Worthy was a match made in heaven. And not really the biggest Xavier Worthy supporter. I felt there were only three teams that he would have a chance of having a great career with: Kansas City, Miami, and the 49ers. He goes to Kansas City, which was the best spot for him. You got Patrick Mahomes, you got Marquise Brown, who he's going to be lining up with. This is going to be the fastest offense in the NFL. This is probably their Tyreek Hill 2.0, but maybe with better route running. My question with Xavier Worthy is he still going to be able to get open if Andy Reid doesn't always have to scheme him open? Against Alabama, he had some really good performances, but anytime those cornerbacks lined up in press coverage, he got jammed to the sideline and he got taken out of the play. How is he going to fare against press coverage in the NFL? Even if he's playing in a slot, you're still going to have to be able to find a way to release off the line efficiently. So that's my biggest concern about Xavier Worthy. He's a really good route runner. He's really good after the catch, but he has a high drop rate, not really a good contested catch guy. But if you can find a way to get him the ball in space or find a way to get him open downfield, he can end up being a really good player for you. So this was one of the best picks of the draft just because how good of a fit it was. If there was any team that Xavier Worthy was going to have the best chance of being able to have his potential maximized, it was going to be with Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and Kansas City. Then they get Kingsley Suamatia, and hopefully I pronounced that right. He is an offensive tackle out of BYU. And anytime you get any of these Hawaiians or these Polynesian guys from the West Coast, you can never go wrong with them. They always seem to turn into really good offensive linemen. And he is actually Penei Sewell's cousin. And you see how good Penei Sewell is right now for Detroit. So if he's just somewhat a third of what his cousin is, you got a pretty good pickup. He had a down year in 2023 from a production standpoint. A lot of articles and a lot of websites that I was reading up on said that he had a way better 2022 campaign. And I'm not really an offensive lineman guru, but all I know is that when I was watching a few BYU games, this dude was a mauler. He has a Polynesian name. It's just destined for him to be good. Okay, you can never go wrong with getting these guys. And with how they were able to maneuver their way to get him, I thought they got a pretty good value for him. I thought he could have been a late first round, early second round guy. Jared Wiley, he's a really good receiving tight end. I'm not going to say he's going to be the next coming of Travis Kelce, but there definitely is a lot of his game that gives you a lot of similarities to what Travis Kelce was when he was coming out as a prospect from Cincinnati. Really smooth route runner. He has a little bit of some elusiveness after the catch where he can make a guy miss. So I like the Jared Wiley pick. Jaden Hicks, this dude is a hyper athletic. I don't want to say he's a safety per se. He's more of those hybrid box safeties. He's like a linebacker / slot corner, similar to how the Dallas Cowboys were using Marquise Bell, number 14. He was a safety. He was an undrafted guy out of FAMU, and they had him playing linebacker and a little bit of nickel corner. That's how I can see Kansas City utilizing Jaden Hicks. He's a super athlete. He has sideline-to-sideline speed, and he's also pretty good, you know, covering tight ends and running backs out of the backfield. Maybe they can use him similar to how they used to use number 49 a few years ago. What was his name? Daniel Sorensen. I think that he has a lot of similarities to him, but way more athletic. Then you got a really good developmental cornerback in Kamel Hayden out of Tennessee. He has a lot of things to like in terms of, you know, his upside, his athleticism, his length. And then you got some more good offensive linemen late in the draft. You got a dude out of Holy, C.J. Hansen. You got a Penn State interior offensive lineman who was really good playing center. Maybe you probably kick him out to be a guard. Overall, Kansas City did a really good job at finding great value in every single round of the draft. Every draft pick that they made, there's a good chance that not only are they going to stick with the team, but they could end up turning into some really good impact players. I could see a Jared Riley becoming a potential Pro Bowler once Travis Kelce retires. I definitely could see Kingsley Suamatia turning into a really good left tackle. And Xavier Worthy, I have no doubt, is going to be a stud, considering that you have Andy Reid calling the play, scheming things up for him, and Patrick Mahomes dishing him out the football. So I give Kansas City an A-. The Denver Broncos, I felt their draft class was a lot better than what many analysts and draft pundits are giving it credit for. I give them a B+. I love the Bo Nix pick. Why are so many people being so critical of a quarterback that was the best available? Denver wasn't trying to trade up and give up a lot of assets to get a guy like Drake May or Jaden Daniels. And their general manager said that they were comfortable with all seven of the top quarterbacks in this draft. And it's not about the quarterback. Okay, a lot of people will say, well, we don't like Bo Nix. It's not about if you like Bo Nix or not. He's going to play for Sean Payton. Sean Payton is one of the greatest offensive minds in the history of this game. Every quarterback that Sean Payton touches, he elevates. You guys seem to forget, before Sean Payton got to Denver, Russell Wilson played like shit under Nathaniel Hackett, bro. That was one of the worst seasons that we've ever seen out of a quarterback of Russell Wilson's stature, who's supposed to be a future Hall of Famer. Sean Payton comes in, and he looks way better. Bo Nix is a perfect fit for Sean Payton's offense. He gets the ball out fast. He plays really good within structure. He's accurate in the short intermediate areas of the field. Why are so many people against this pick? Who cares if you didn't like Bo Nix? It's not about if you liked him or not. It's about the situation that he went to. He went to the best situation. He was the perfect fit for Sean Payton. He's a more athletic version of Teddy Bridgewater, but with a stronger arm, in my opinion. And remember, when Drew Brees went down and Teddy Bridgewater came in for those few games with Sean Payton, he balled out, and Sean Payton got Teddy Bridgewater paid. Jameis Winston, in Sean Payton's final season in New Orleans, had the best touchdown-to-interception ratio in the league before he went down with that season-ending injury against Tampa Bay. He outplayed Aaron Rodgers that season. New Orleans was 5-1 with him being the starter before he was out for the year. You want to know why? Because of Sean Payton's coaching. He got the most out of Jameis Winston. He was able to do something that no other coach in the league has been able to do with Jameis Winston, and that's make him an efficient quarterback. If he can make Jameis Winston an efficient quarterback with the high or low touchdown interception ratio, I'm pretty confident he can succeed with Bo Nix. It's not about how much you like Bo Nix. It's about how much do you trust Sean Payton. If you trust Sean Payton and you believe in him and you think that he's one of the greatest offensive minds in the history of the game, then Bo Nix is going to succeed. If you don't believe in Sean Payton, you don't believe in Bo Nix. You don't have to believe in Bo Nix. But if you believe in Sean Payton, there's a great chance Bo Nix succeeds and he should be able to win. Jonah Ellis, really underrated edge rusher. He had a really outstanding season last year for Utah. This could be somebody who could see the field as quickly as day one. And Troy Franklin, you pick him up in the fourth round, pairing him up with his college quarterback. I don't think that it gets any better than that. He's also a pretty good fit in Sean Payton's offense. Sean Payton always likes lengthy receivers that have really good speed. You know, he had Tre'Quan Smith. He was pretty productive. Marquise Callaway. Troy Franklin is going to be a really good fit in this offense along with Bo Nix. And him and Bo Nix already have really good chemistry and timing. If you are looking for a good rookie wideout in your fantasy football leagues, Troy Franklin is definitely somebody that you should be looking out for. Audric Estime, I love this pick. This was one of the better value picks in the draft. I felt this was the third best running back in this draft class. I think he has pretty good vision. He's powerful. This is the kind of running back that Sean Payton likes to gravitate towards. He's built. I don't know how good he is in pass pro. I didn't really watch that much of his film. It's just more so I was watching a lot of Notre Dame games, and he was always going golf. So I really love Audric Estime in the fifth round. Chris Abrams, out of Missouri, really physical corner. He has a lot of versatility in his game. I'm eager to see, you know, how he's going to fit in that defense. Because, you know, I kind of wanted him to come to Pittsburgh. I felt he would have been a way better fit on the opposite side of Joey Porter. And I was just a big fan of this dude's game. I watched a lot of Missouri last year, too. And I think for Denver overall, when you look at what they got the last two picks in the seventh round, Devon Vele, really good lengthy wide receiver who could be a really good red zone target, but he was a little inconsistent during his time at Utah. And then you drafted the interior offensive lineman out of South Carolina. I think that was a really bad pick, man. Like, South Carolina's offensive line was terrible. Spencer Rattler was running for his life nearly every single play, so I think that might have just been a little bit of a wasted pick there. But overall, this was a decent draft class. You got Troy Franklin, speedster wide receiver that's going to help your offense be more explosive this year. Last year, your offense didn't really generate a lot of big plays. It's kind of like you were running a red zone offense, but instead of just running it for just the red zone, you ran it for the entirety when you were trying to drive up and down the field. And you have to be able to generate plays in the vertical passing game. Now, with a guy like Troy Franklin, who has the speed to take the top over the defense, you know, you're going to have somebody like Bo Nix, who has a pretty strong arm, who's going to be able to take advantage of that. So I think that those were two of the better picks that the Broncos made overall with their draft class, and I give them a B+. I just like the majority of the things that they did. You know, I think that they got a good mix of guys who have the potential to become capable starters. And you also got a guy in Bo Nix and Troy Franklin who are going to be able to have an impact for you right out the gate in their first seasons. The Raiders, surprisingly, had an incredible draft. And if it wasn't for them not walking away with the quarterback, I would have given them an A+. But you can't go into this season with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew and expect to compete for a playoff spot. I get that Antonio Pierce had a lot of success last year. He beat Kansas City. They embarrassed the Chargers, but the Chargers have a better coach now in Jim Harbaugh. The Chiefs are improved. And with Gardner Minshew and, you know, Aiden O'Connell having to go up against Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes and Sean Payton, I just don't really like the odds this year. But they did a really good job of building up their team for next year. So when they do get a quarterback in year two, officially under Antonio Pierce, they should be a playoff team. All right, you get Brock Bowers in the first round. There are so many people that are against this pick. I loved it. It's like, what the fuck did you want them to do? The Atlanta Falcons messed up everything when they took Michael Penix. I think that was the dude who the Raiders were eyeballing. And even if they couldn't get him, they would probably think we could at least maybe walk away with Bo Nix. But once Atlanta took Penix, it messed up everything for Las Vegas. And with them having Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew at quarterback, the pick made sense to me because those dudes really aren't that good. So why not give them the best supporting cast possible? You got Davante Adams now. You got Jacoby Myers. You got Brock Bowers. You got Michael Mayer. There were people saying, we already drafted Michael Mayer. You got to have two tight end sets on the field if you want to be able to have a sustainable run game. Not a lot of teams are able to have success running the football with three wide receiver sets unless you have wide receivers that are really good at blocking. And I don't really think they have a big slot receiver who really is going to be a physical blocker to allow you to run three wide receiver sets to establish the run game. You know, a lot of teams who run the football effectively are doing it out of 11 personnel, multiple tight end sets. Brock Bowers makes a lot of sense. Now, he's not the greatest blocker, but I don't think he's a liability out there neither. He's a wide receiver who somehow happens to play tight end. All you have to do is just give this dude the ball, and he's going to make things happen. He's an incredible route runner. He gets off the line with ease. He makes things happen after the catch. This was a great pick by the Las Vegas Raiders. I really do not understand why so many people were hating or griping against this pick, man. It's like Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew are going to love Brock Bowers. They're check down merchants. He's going to take a 3-yard pass and turn it into an 8-yard play. When you have quarterbacks that aren't that good, how does it not make sense to give them more weapons for them to throw to? That's just my thinking. And then in the second round, you got Jackson Powers Johnson, interior offensive lineman out of Oregon, who is going to be an immediate impact, high caliber starter for you right out the gate week one. And the Raiders offensive line is not really that bad. You know, last year their offensive line played pretty decent at times. It just was you didn't have consistent quarterback play. If you can get decent quarterback play, most likely out of Gardner Minshew, who should be the starter, then this offensive line, you know, with you able to be more balanced running the football, that should open up the passing game a little bit more. You get a guy like Jackson Powers Johnson, this dude's name, you know, I don't want to try to throw out any puns and stuff like that, but You know, I think he's going to live up to that name, Jackson Powers Johnson, because you see him play out Oregon. This dude is just mauling guys to the ground. This dude's a damn locomotive down there in the interior of that O-line. And for the Raiders, you get him, Colton Miller, whichever side you put him on, the left side, right side, he's going to solidify that side of the O-line. Because you get Damel Glaze out of Maryland. And I thought that he probably was going to be a round two selection. I thought he could have been a late first rounder, in my opinion. I thought that Maryland had some pretty good offensive tackles that they put in the league over the last couple of years. They also had a guy named Duncan who got drafted last year. Damel Glaze, some people feel he could transition to offensive guard, but I think they could play him at right tackle. And I do think that he could end up giving some competition potentially to Thayer Munford. And Thayer Munford, I don't think he was terrible, you feel me? But he definitely is replaceable. So if Damel Glaze goes into training camp and he ends up outplaying Thayer Munford, I think that you're probably going to be pretty set at right tackle this year. And then you're going to have Jackson Powers Johnson at right guard. I guess you could still keep Dylan Parham at left guard. You know, he was decent in his first, I think now it's like his second season as a starter last year. I don't know. I feel like if you end up moving Damel Glaze, the guard, it kind of would be a little bit of a wasted pick. Well, I really do think that if you give him a little bit of time, he could turn into a pretty solid offensive tackle for you. And then you got Tommy Eichenberg in the fifth round. This was my favorite pick that the Raiders made. Before him, they took a cornerback out of Mississippi State who's pretty decent. But I love Tommy Eichenberg, man. This was one of my favorite players in the draft class. He has really good instincts, high IQ. He's always around the football. He's going to be an instant impact starter for you. I could see him being a Pro Bowler for you. He does struggle to get off blocks at times, but other than that, this dude is a really solid linebacker. He does a lot of things well. And anytime you have a guy who has high football IQ manning the middle of your unit at linebacker, normally you could end up having a really good defense because he's a really good communicator. This is definitely the kind of linebacker you want if you're Antonio Pierce and you want somebody who's going to be able to help you establish a personality on defense. I love Tommy Eichenberg coming out of Ohio State this year. He was one of my favorite players in the draft, and this was the best pick that the Raiders made, in my opinion, outside of Brock Bowers. I love this pick more than the Jackson Powers Johnson pick. You know, I was just a huge fan of Tommy Eichenberg, and Divine Diablo, you know, he's starting to come on. You feel me? He made the transition from safety to linebacker, and he looked pretty good last year. And pairing him up with Tommy Eichenberg, yeah, I think that that could be a really good pairing. Now, are you going to be able to make Tommy Eichenberg, you know, a weak side linebacker? Or could you move Divine Diablo to weak side linebacker? Because maybe Tommy Eichenberger could end up being a better middle linebacker than Divine Diablo just because he has more experience at that position. I think that he just has a more natural feel for it. But this was a great draft by the Las Vegas Raiders. They got a safety out of Air Force. They got a really fast, shifty running back from the FCS level in the sixth round. This was a solid draft class. It could have been a great draft class if they would have walked away with a quarterback. They could have at least have drafted Spencer Rattler. I would have took him instead of the cornerback out of Mississippi State, who's more of a developmental guy. But there are a lot of hidden gems in this draft class, man. Tommy Eichenberg, Damel Glaze, you know, Trey Taylor could be a really good box safety for him. B+ is the grade that I give the Raiders for their draft. And the last team that we have, the Los Angeles Chargers, man. Many of you Chargers fans were upset with the selection of Joe Alt in the first round. And I don't get why so many people were outraged. If you know Jim Harbaugh, you know what he wants to build. He wants to build a physical, dominant team up front. Everywhere he's been, he's had the same blueprint, and it's always worked. San Diego State, Stanford, Michigan, the San Francisco 49ers, he always puts the trenches above everything. Because if you can win up front, you have a chance to win the majority of games that you play. Football is still a game that's won and lost in the trenches. A lot of you guys seem to forget that. Kansas City just won the Super Bowl with their best receiver being a rookie, and Travis Kelce, you know, still being their number one option, although we thought that he fell off with how he looked in the regular season. There are teams that always don't have the best receivers, but still find ways to go far in the playoffs because they have great offensive line play. Cincinnati didn't win the Super Bowl against the LA Rams because their offensive line fell apart in the fourth quarter. That was one of the worst offensive lines to ever make a Super Bowl. And for Justin Herbert, with him having a great offensive line and a legit run game, that's going to help elevate him, because the big problem with the Chargers is that they've been too Justin Herbert dependent. Why they blew that lead to Jacksonville a few years ago in the wild card round is because they couldn't close the game out due to their inability to run the football. If they could have run the football in the second half a lot more effectively, they would have been able to take a lot of time off the clock in that wild card round loss to Jacksonville, and they would have been able to keep Jacksonville from having time to come back. So the fact that there were so many Chargers outraged with this Joe Alt pick really surprised me. And he is going to be moving from left to right, but he already made the transition to left tackle pretty seamlessly. People don't really know this. Well, some people do, but if you look into Joe Alt, he wasn't always an offensive tackle. He initially started out as a tight end, and then he moved to offensive tackle, and he made the transition pretty fast. If he can move from tight end to tackle within a span of 2 years, I'm pretty confident that he can make the transition from the left to right pretty fast too. You know, it is a little bit of a learning curve when you're making the transition from the other side of the offensive tackle position, rather if it's left to right or right to left. It's like learning how to write with your non-dominant hand, they say. So I think Joe Alt is a smart, really intelligent player. He'll be able to make that transition pretty seamlessly. This is going to be a future Pro Bowler, and he's going to end up being one of the best offensive linemen in the game. Ladd McConkey was the first receiver that you selected in this draft. I liked it, this pick also. Great route runner. He's a technician. He's going to be able to beat press coverage. He has all kinds of different release packages. This dude is just a fluid route runner. And people keep saying he's a slot receiver. Like, he can play outside receiver too. With how he's able to get open and create separation, he's not going to struggle against outside corners because he can beat press coverage. You got him, Quentin Johnston. I know the receiving core doesn't look all that great, but you got Greg Roman calling plays on offense. He more so cares about utilizing tight ends in the passing game. So you got Ladd McConkey. You got Joe Alt. You're going to be able to run the football. You're going to have a wide receiver who's going to be able to get open for Justin Herbert in third down situations. He's definitely going to be somebody who's going to be dependable in late game situations as well, because he has great hands. I love the first two picks that the Chargers made. And then you get Junior Colson in the third round, who is another guy who's going to be an instant impact starter for the Chargers as a rookie. He was my second rated linebacker in this class behind Tommy Eichenberger. He's really good against the run. He's going to be way better than what Kenneth Murray has been the last 4 years he's been in LA. And then after these first three picks, this is when I start to kind of have mixed feelings about the Chargers draft class. They got an interior D lineman out of Alabama who's really good against the run, but he doesn't really offer you a lot when it comes to getting after the quarterback. Cam Hart, you know, his play, to me, has kind of gotten worse the last 2 years. I felt in 2022, that was his best film. Last year kind of was an off year for him. Although I felt he had a pretty good game against Marvin Harrison, he still was getting worked. And then you get Brendan Rice, Cornelius Johnson. I like Brendan Rice. I get why he fell so late. He's not really a savvy route runner. He's more so a yak guy, but with how he's built, you know, he's not somebody who needs to be a complex route runner. You know, DK Metcalf wasn't a super dynamic route runner when he was coming out of Ole Miss, but all you're asking out of Brendan Rice is to be a good deep threat and find a way to get him the ball in space off bubble screens, slants, or short passing concepts. Because with how this dude's built, A lot of these cornerbacks are going to have a hard time trying to tackle this dude. There are cornerbacks getting drafted in the first round that are less than 180 pounds. You feel me? Today's corners are only like 180, and they don't like to tackle. They're anchor biters. And when you're going up against a guy like Brendan Rice, especially with them banning the hit drop tackle, he's going to be somebody who's going to break a lot of tackles. He's going to be the beneficiary of the NFL starting to be a little bit more offensive heavy. And then you get Cornelius Johnson. Didn't really hear too much of him when he was playing at Michigan. You know, he made a few plays here and there, but, you know, he still is somebody who could have an impact on the Chargers offense. You know, he played for Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, so he already has a lot of familiarity there. You got a really good running back out of Troy. He was one of, if not the best running back in the G5 last year, in my opinion. So this was a decent draft class. I just felt like you could have gotten some better wide receivers in round 5. Instead of taking Cam Hart, you could have maybe traded up for Javon Baker. If you would have got Ladd McConkey and Javon Baker, you would have had two stud wide receivers. But this was a decent draft class. It just was more to be desired, in my opinion. But these are my AFC West draft grades. Let me know your thoughts in the comment section down below. Hit that like button, subscribe to the channel. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us with a 5-star review. Remember that you can find every episode of the pod in audio format on Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. I appreciate you guys for tuning in, and I will see you guys shortly with another episode of the podcast.